Okay, here we are, Mr. JP Morris. We actually got a little window of time here at Bass Pro Shops headquarters here. We are at base camp, and thank you so much for carving out some time. I know you are a very, very busy man, so thank you for sitting down with us and just chatting a little bit here on the Bilge Podcast.
Hey, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me, and sorry to be cutting into your fishing time while you're in the Ozarks.
Come on.
We all know what we'd both rather be doing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's what I hear. I hear that a lot. You know, we've been on the team for almost a year now, and every time we visit over here, it's like, you know, you walk by, and it's like, oh, well, we're surprised he's here, because normally he's out hunting on a trip, and we paid attention on your Instagram page, and you've recently had some like really, really awesome trips recently.
Oh, well, thanks. I'm really passionate about being in the outdoors and just about our brand and our people and making memories outside. I mean, that's what it's all about at the end of the day, is those times with loved ones and your buddies and your family, and just, you know, it's those memories. They live on way past a big fish or a big deer or anything. So
how do you balance that though? How do you balance when you want to be hunting, but you know, like, I've got to be in the office too?
Well, luckily, you know, today's day and age after COVID and everything, it's easy to Zoom with people and do all that kind of stuff. But I find that I try to get in the office at least, you know, 3 days a week. And then I kind of, depending on, there's sometimes a year I'm here all week, and there's sometimes a year where you got to go out and play hooky. Because as you well know, hunting or fishing, there's certain times a year that it's just going on and you can't plan. And when your buddy calls and says, hey, the fish are biting, you got to go.
Well, we call that field testing. So technically we're working, but we're out there field testing. Speaking of which, so what does so those 3 days of the week, 4 days of the week, sometimes you're here every single day of the week. What does a day-to-day look like for JP Morris here at base camp?
Well, I'm really blessed and lucky to get to grow up with my dad as my father and mentor and around the company. I mean, there's so many great people that have been here from when I was literally a kid running around in diapers at the store. And they had to like put up with me probably being a little pain in the butt.
Yeah.
But it's just so fun, you know, as you know, when you can make like your passion your day-to-day job, and you have to wake up every day doing stuff you love, it doesn't really feel like work as much. And that's truly how it feels here. We're not big on titles at Bass Pro. We've always had a culture of everybody kind of rolls up their sleeves and we get it done. It may not be the best way possible, but like everybody works hard to get it done. My title is Chief Customer Officer, and I think a lot of the reason I have that is because I try to stay close to our customers.
Good.
I spend a lot of time in the field. I love to use our products, test them out. I work very closely with all of our merchandisers, the product development team. And it's so fun when it's something you're passionate about and you get to go work on something. Just yesterday, we were meeting on a new like hunting box blind project.
Oh, nice.
And me and a couple of the guys on the team, we were just talking today. Oh, man, we're so excited about this. Like, it's so fun. So to get to pour your love into something and call it works.
And call it work. Yeah. I mean, although some people may say, hey, you know, he's out there hunting again, or I'm out there fishing again. I mean, it really is work. That's amazing.
And you know what you're talking about.
That's
because you do live outdoors.
100%. You know, and it's hard. Like, I'm very lucky. I've gotten to travel around a lot with my dad. We have such a great relationship and like his mentorship through business, but also just in the outdoors and when you treat people and getting to experience a lot of different ways of doing things and a lot of different, I guess like cultural norms on how they fish or how they hunt different places, I think has been very helpful. You know, it's easy as you sit in Springfield behind a desk all day, think you know about what's going on and you think you know the latest trends. But when the team travels out and goes to a tournament and they see what you're fishing with, they see what customers are asking you about, that light bulb goes off. And you can't replace that knowledge and that passion. The end of the day, passions, I think, really what drives us here at Bass Pro and sets us apart.
And it really shows. I mean, for anyone listening who hasn't been into a Bass Pro Shops, you know, from California to Florida, all the way up north, whatever it might be, you're really, you know, experiencing something special. As soon as you open up the doors, the smell, the visuals, the bass tank in the back, it really is an experience for the whole family, really. You mentioned COVID earlier. Did we see some challenges through COVID, and how is it rebounding this, you know, what are we, 5 years later?
Yeah. I mean, it was certainly a rough time. I remember the early days when it was first going on March, I mean, being on calls with my dad and, you know, it's a big responsibility. We have 40,000 people that work for us in all the stores and supporting our customers and everything. And so as you look at a time like that and it's really rough on business and you don't know what's going to happen. And so it's like, you're bracing for the worst.
Right.
And we're having to furlough people and people that, I mean, they've worked their whole lives in many cases supporting our brands and our customers. And then that happens. And then all of a sudden people had time off work. They were able to, you know, Zoom from the field.
Yes.
Maybe a little extra money to go spend on an outdoor pursuit that they didn't have that was tied up in sports or something else, you know? And so I feel like that was a really great shot in the arm for fishing, hunting, just general outdoors. It was like, we keep seeing this trend, more and more people on their phones, not out in the woods, not out on the water. And I think that was a, just a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
I know personally, we were very blessed during COVID, me and my dad and my mom and my wife and some of the family, we all went up to the, we have a farm here in Missouri. We go fishing and hunting up there. And well, we went up there and spent a lot of time together as a family.
Yeah.
And it was like getting back to the old days of everybody sitting around the table at night and we're all having dinner and looking each other in the eye and talking. And so that was like the blessing part of COVID, but it came along with a lot of obviously hard times for people as
well. And I think a lot of families can relate to that. I mean, that's exactly, that was the American family. Like a lot of them were brought together. A lot of them were spending time at their cabin or at their lake house or out in the woods together like that. And we definitely saw on the professional fishing side, we definitely saw more involvement. We saw more lure sales. We saw more boat sales and things like that. And matter of fact, this Bass Tracker sign right here, the guys, they put it in earlier. I watched them place that right here behind me. How many people are going to call this 417 number to try to buy a $2,995 Bass Tracker with a boat motor and trailer?
I'm sure a few. And, you know, that was... that my dad talks about a lot of times, and it's why it's in this room. You know, we have a lot of meetings with people and here, and he likes to point out a lot about what set our business apart in the early days, like what gained Bass Pro all this popularity and people to start knowing around the country. And when we first unveiled these boats, my dad said it was like the biggest risk he ever took in business. They had to pony up for like 400 of these boats, and they had an out after like 200 if it didn't go well.
Wow.
And there weren't a bunch. Everybody, you know, maybe wanted a new color option or they wanted different tires. What they really wanted was that price.
Yeah.
And so being able to drive that value, and everybody at that point picked up their boats directly from the factory here in the Ozarks. And so we were actually still in my granddad's liquor store at the time we started selling these boats. And that was part of the reason that we invested in buying where the granddaddy store is in Springfield today as a showroom for our boats, and a way when customers came to pick up their boats to kind of introduce them to Tracker and here's how you run your boat. Here's all the stuff you need to know. And then that actually ended up growing into Big Cedar because my dad wanted a way for people to get training on their boats. Oh. And so in the early days, we actually had a team of people that did on the water boat deliveries for customers where they would take customers out, show you how to use it, where to go fishing.
So that explains all the Nitro Z21s, all the Sun Trackers, Bass Trackers in the stalls down there on Table Rock Lake, Long Creek Marina. All the new models are down there for someone out of town or whatever to fly in and check out some of these models. So that business model of showing them how to use things,
it's,
and
it's that in-store, the same, the in-store experience
on the water.
Yeah. Yep. My question there, this is what has me so excited to talk to you, because through the grapevine, I've heard you understand like the media side of where things are going. And not to get straight to the nitty gritty, but I don't want to not get this question in. So your dad, obviously, I think the whole world can say nailed the in-store experience. When you go, we talk about it all the time. A family shows up to Bass Pro for the experience. They'll spend all day there. You know, like, hey, we're going to Bass Pro this weekend.
Yeah.
How do you guys start to pivot and get that same experience, but on the digital side, as everything, like we're watching it, especially since COVID, just transition quickly. Mm-hmm. And it seems like the outdoor space, at least on our side, is a little slower. But you guys always seem to figure things out. So do you have a plan there? Do you see where it's going?
Well, that's a good question. I think when you look around, things change really quickly, right? Yes. And trends are always changing. Man. You got to stay on top of it to capitalize. And I think we have been a little slow, maybe on the digital side. And we've said that for years, whether it be on the website where we're selling, you know, gear, is how do we offer that same experience? And it's hard to replicate a waterfall and seeing big bass swimming around on the website.
Right, right.
But there's a lot of other ways that you can use that as other tools to offer a great experience to our customers. I think we've gotten better there, but you're right. Media and our digital presence is getting more and more important all the time. And so we are reinvesting all the time in how we grow our digital platform, finding new influencers. Sure. You've been a big part of this over the last year. I know the team's had great things to say just about a fresh look. And, you know, you have some tournament anglers that are so head down focused in the weeds and details that sometimes they maybe miss a big opportunity. And
it seems like a personality or the likes. And that's the kind of the trend you see, right? Lots of podcasts. You see more and more like Hollywood movie stars. You and I are kind of the same age. You know, we grew up watching the Tom Cruises, the Val Kilmers and things on TV. Now, who are those guys? Now it's like the Nelk Boys or like the latest influencer. Yeah. Like it's a weird, weird transition. So how does that relate to like fishing and outdoor space? Because I believe the opportunity is there for sure. It's just we're in that transition time.
Yeah, I think it's worth just keeping the hammer down. How do we create as much content as we can about all these specialized areas? I think it's really unique in our business. We have like customers that span the whole gamut. We have customers that have never been fishing before and they don't know anything about it. And you walk into Bass Pro and you're like, how do I know what lure to pick out? I mean, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side of that spectrum, you have tournament fishermen or these experts and they think they know more, might know more than anybody in the store. Who knows? Yeah. Right. But, so I think it's tough. Like you have to tailor content to both ends of the spectrum. And, and I hope that we can come up with ways of teaching new customers. Here's everything you need to know about fishing in like a non, non-aggressive and non-intimidating way, but yet still have that really expert in-depth level information for our diehard customers that really love it.
You guys, I say this all the time, Bass Pro's the only brand in the bass fishing space that it went mainstream. Like that's just, you guys transcend our space. Mm-hmm. How, and like you were saying, expert content as well as, you know, your entry level content, how do you keep up with that?
Just through a lot of great relationships. You know, we've been very blessed over the years and very lucky to work with, you know, BSS, Major League Fishing. Mm-hmm. You've got the Bill Dances and Roland Martins of the world.
Still
and
so kicking.
It's interesting how different people break out and go for a different kind of an approach to how they earn their living or how they engage with their fans and their and their viewers. And so I think it's a mixture of a whole bunch of different things. You know, it used to be there was one channel. My dad talks about the old American Sportsman TV show with Kurt Gowdy would come on and it was like the only hunting and fishing show. So everybody watched it.
Right. Yeah.
But now there's so many places to go for information. I mean, podcast, YouTube,
Instagram websites, videos. I mean,
social media everywhere.
Right? And so, anyone can put it out there too,
anybody
right?
can put it out there. And so it makes it tough on one hand, but also I look up and I see this next wave of young anglers coming up, of young hunters. They're so passionate, like we are, about the space, and they want to break in however they can.
Mm-hmm. And share that experience too, through the cell phone. Yeah.
And so I've been pushing the team and having them help me think about how do we get this group of influencers? They may not have 200,000 followers. They may have 15,000, but you know what? They're legitimate and they're passionate. And they are just excited to work with a brand like Bass Pro or White River Marine Boat Brands. And so if we can find a way to break into that group, maybe we don't have every major fishing influencer, but man, we could have a heck of an army of people that really believe in our brands and use our brands by finding that next tier down. So I think that's an exciting spot to be looking and awesome. Building that relationship too.
That's awesome. You mentioned the White River Marine Group and just upstairs here, we took a little tour earlier today. The White River Marine Group brands, you know, you got your Tritons, your Rangers, your Nitros all upstairs. I know you wear a bunch of different hats in this office here, in this space. What kind of influence do you have on, let's say, the Nitro Z21 XL that I'll be running on the Elite Series this year? Did you have your hand in any of the design work or any of the, you know, any of the little doodads or anything at the console or the bow or any of the other brands, Ranger, Triton, Bass Tracker?
So I am very passionate about all hunting and fishing stuff. And my dad especially is passionate about new product and design and everything. And so we've been spending more time as of lately working on our lineups of the different brands and how, what do they stand for, right? Yeah. So that we have more differentiation between Ranger and Nitro. I'm not going to be able to claim that I had a lot of input on the Z21 XL. Right. We do have some great people upstairs, like Lance, you know, that's diehard, so passionate. He loves the product. But we have been working on how we build relationships with some new designers from outside maybe our everyday business so we can just get fresh ideas. You brought up earlier, sometimes the outdoor industry is behind other industries a little bit. And I think sometimes that can be a good thing, right? We can sit back and maybe pick up things that automotive's been doing for 5 or 8 years and bring it to marine, and it can be a new, you know, benefit to boaters out there. So I think there's a lot of exciting things on the forefront. I know some of the new high-performance aluminum boats we've been working on.
I heard.
Really,
I heard.
Really
exciting.
I can't
talk too much about, but I heard.
But There's a little tease, so be ready because they're awesome.
That's cool.
So you brought up the different brands and differentiating them. How do you do that? Because you guys have multiple bass boat brands, and then you have yachts, and you have all sorts of size boats. Mm-hmm. When you are in the same space with multiple bass boat brands, like, how do you even go about differentiating those brands?
I think the key is, right, what team do you align behind the brands, right, and making sure that you sometimes have different people or a different cadence for when we come up with an innovation, where does it go?
Right.
Is this something that we need to have in all of our boat brands, or is this something that we'll introduce, you know, in a Ranger, and then it comes out in Nitro afterward? And it really depends on, I think, what fits the individual boat brand. I don't know that we have all the answers, but we continue to work through it and pull our customers and see, what do you love about your Ranger? What do you love about your Nitro? And make sure that we continue to deliver on those things that they expect from those brands, but we still keep, you know, bringing new innovation and new comforts to the boat.
So. And it changes. That demographic changes from boat brand to boat brand. And we see it as we travel all across the country. Geographically, like, you know, out there in California, we just got done fishing a U.S. Open. It's a big Western tournament that Rick Klun fishes every year. There are so many Rangers out there. It's and you're starting to see a bunch more Nitros as well, but it's so Ranger dominant. Then you go down to the, you know, down there to Georgia, you know, the Tennessees, and like that Triton boat brand is so strong down there in Alabama. And so it's really interesting to see all the different demographics all throughout. And I'd imagine you guys, you know, do a great job at, you know, catering to those different demographics because you got such a great team upstairs.
We have a great dealer base across the country, and that's been a huge key to our success with Tracker and Nitro, and now with Ranger, is having a great group of loyal dealers across the country that really support us in all those local markets. And
not only across the country, not to cut you off, but across the world. We actually got sent to the Netherlands a couple months ago. Charles and I shot over there, and there were so many Nitro Zs and Ranger Zs. And it's so funny because their roads are so narrow there in Europe, and seeing these American-made bass boats in Europe, and the trailers, they had to have custom trailers because the roads are so narrow. It's like the boat was wider than what the lanes were out there, but it was so cool to see that. And all these Bass Pro Shops hats were out there. It was really, really phenomenal. It made me feel good about myself as a professional fisherman that's been in it for 13 years. Like, wow, we actually, as professional fish catchers in this country, have an influence in that giant country of Europe. And that's
the
awesome.
Country of Europe.
Yeah.
Single country.
Sorry. We're fishermen here.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. I had a direction I was going with that, but yeah. messed that
up. One thing, talking about the boat brand. So is there like a brand where if something super innovative comes up that you're like, okay, you know, selfishly, you're like, that has to go on that brand? Or how does that balance even happen?
Well, I think we have people on the team, right? If they come up with an idea and they maybe work on this boat brand, like, it's kind of their baby. They're passionate about it and excited about it, and they want to see it come to fruition there. But not necessarily. You know, one thing, since we acquired Ranger, I've seen some stuff on social media or other places, and people feel like, you know, maybe the quality went down or other things. And one thing that blows me away is when I go to the plants and you go to the line and you watch people working on them and the pride they have and the hard work they put into the boats, like, it blows you away.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've had the opportunity to go through the different plants around here.
I have, yeah.
But when I leave, I'm always like, oh man, I'm energized. Like, that is awesome. And I think we're bringing new technology, new processes. And so I think the quality is improving and getting better. But you know, sometimes it's easy for people when we don't give them all the information about what we're doing to kind
of draw conclusions. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So I think that's another important aspect for us. We need to focus on is making sure customers know all the great innovation we're putting into our boats. I think sometimes we're quiet about it because maybe we don't want competition knowing about everything or whatever. But you know, at the end of the day, I think we could do a better job communicating to our customers about all the features and all the new innovations that we're bringing, because the team's always working on it.
Do you share? So does the Nitro team share with the Ranger team so that everyone, it kind of elevates everyone, right?
Because I would say now more so than ever, it's really one cohesive team that's all working together to go attack it, which is great. But still bringing that differentiation is important, even though it's easy when everybody gets going on the same page. They're all great ideas and you want them everywhere, but you got to think of the right kids.
Yeah, it's like a Black Rifle coffee that's got a vanilla latte, it's got Americano, and it's got a drip coffee or whatever. And those are your three brands right there over one roof. Terrible analogy, I know. Dude, it was terrible.
Not on your game. Wow. So you're a big hunter.
I am.
We're not, but we're trying to be.
Yeah, hey, come on. Don't discount me like that. I love hog hunting. Texas hog hunting. That's my jam.
Where do you guys live?
We live in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Okay.
Yeah,
so lots of hogs. Side,
yeah. And that right there is what I've been getting into lately. That's probably my favorite.
Turkey hunting is so fun.
Yeah, from what I hear, and that's it's a turkey up there. And from what I hear, is it elk? What's your favorite type of hunting?
I think if I had to pick one, it would be archery elk hunting. Just because of the running around in the mountains, you're a beautiful country. You get to interact with them calling, and you can just be really aggressive, which makes it fun.
And it's kind of like a big turkey, right? You're calling for them, like they're bringing in. That is so awesome.
You know, whether it be elk or turkey hunting, it's one of my favorite things. Whether or not I'm even behind the gun or behind the bow, just to be involved and be along in the process where you get to call and interact with wildlife like that is so fun.
You have posted some really cool Instagram photos. I think you were just in British Columbia on a moose hunt, maybe?
Yeah,
that was amazing.
Dad and I got to go to the Yukon, and we went years and years ago. I think I was probably 9 or 10 years old. We went together to Alaska fishing, and he went moose hunting, and he got a big old moose, and it was hilarious because we were reminiscing. My mom got like 2 weeks worth of homework all printed, all put together in a three-ring binder.
Nice.
We go on the trip, totally forgot it at
of
home.
Of course.
Didn't do a single bit of it. She was hot when we got back at me, but it's all good.
Such a mom move.
So speaking of course, you know, being, you know, in the outdoor industry, obviously at the top of the outdoor industry, I'm sure you have a bucket list. How many of those boxes on, let's say, a 5 hunt or fishing trip bucket list that you have in your mind, how many of those boxes are checked and how many are unchecked?
Oh, man. Well, I don't know. We've been lucky. We've gotten to go a lot
pretty
of places
much all over
and had a lot of fun. I mean, me and my dad, we're like our best buddies, and he's a bigger fisherman than a hunter, and I'm a bigger hunter than a fisherman, but we both enjoy the other. So we're always dragging each other on trips.
That's
so
awesome.
You name it, awesome stuff.
What do you have next? What's next?
You know, I don't really know. Honestly, coming up the next couple months is just around here in Missouri. The older I get, the more I like being around home you know, the stuff you work on, the food plots you put the effort into, you get to go hunt, all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. This time of year, I love being around home.
What is unchecked? Is there one that you're like, I still have yet to execute on that? Or
there's still several. I mean, at some point there's like a North American slam of animals. I think it's like 29 different animals.
Wow.
And at some point it'd be cool to check all those off the list with a bow. I mean, they're on pretty good ways through the list, but there's a lot of really tough hunts out there. The hardest hunt I ever had was for a stone sheep. I went when I was 18 and
in shape. I mean, at 18 years old, you're at your, you're
a lot better than now.
Right. I mean,
and it took me 15 days and I got the ram with my bow on the last day of a 15-day hunt. I've never worked harder for an animal or on a hunt. And I mean, 7 days through, like, you couldn't have paid me enough to go on another sheep hunt. And then by the end, I'm like, when are we going again?
Is it because they're so weary and they're running from you all the time?
And they live above timberline. There's no trees. There's nowhere to hide. It's really steep.
Oof.
And there's 4 different subspecies in North America. Uh-huh. And so I got 1 out of the 4. So those other 3 are probably on the bucket list at some point to get back after. But, you know, I love being with buddies and having that fun. And those are kind of like, you go off on your own, maybe with a guide or something. You're in a tent.
Mm-hmm.
They're still fun, but the most fun anymore is like when you're with your family or friends or a group of buddies and you can hang out. And
have you ever shared a hunt or a fishing trip with any like high profile, let's say any presidents or actors or professional sports players?
I've been fishing with several presidents over the years,
very
the
cool.
Bushes. Wow. My dad fished with the older President Bush, HW, I think 18 years in a row, they went to Canada salmon fishing for Atlantic salmon.
That's awesome.
And so that's actually that picture back there behind you. It's me and my dad with an Atlantic salmon.
Cool.
And he loves to go up and fish for those. It's not red hot action, but there's just something about all the memories come flooding back, I guess, when you go up there and do that. So, yeah, I've gotten to fish with those guys. And I don't know, lots of lots of random people.
You brought up your dad. So this is one of those other nitty gritty questions.
Yeah.
So your dad, I think your dad's around my dad's age, and my dad still works in the office every day. He says, what would I do if I wasn't in the office? Like that, he's like, that's all I know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just start another company if I were to do anything. So do you think about that? Like, do you think your dad's like at any point going to be like, okay, I'm just going to go retire
He doesn't do well sitting still.
No,
I think it's a lot like your dad.
Yeah.
You know, he is up every morning earlier and earlier, it seems like.
Wow.
Like, let's get on the phone. Let's call everybody.
Every day, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's in the office a lot. And even when he's not in the office, he's always working. He's always on the phone. He's a really big proponent of like handwritten notes. So one thing that's unique about him compared to a lot of really busy, successful people is, I mean, a lot of times if you write him a note, you're going to get a handwritten note back.
Wow.
And that's awesome. Something that's unique. You don't see out of a lot of people. He's really passionate about it. So he spends a lot of time communicating with people like that.
That's so key.
And just something that's unique that you don't see out of a lot of people anymore. Yeah. But I think it's something special and unique that sets him apart from the average, you know, entrepreneur or CEO out there.
Do you think of though, okay, when that time comes, like, do you say, okay, my dad did it this way, but I think maybe, you know, especially with the media changing and stuff, do you have those thoughts of?
I mean, you know, I think we have guiding principles that have been key in our business from literally my dad brings it up all the time. My dad or my granddad, you know, he would say, hey, value is king. It's not worth any more on your shelf than it is your competitors. And he had all these sayings and all these business kind of beliefs that he stuck to, you know, building your own brands was really my grandpa's thing. He was the one that told my dad, he owned the liquor store. He said, you know, if you can only sell what's pre-sold and you're competing at the same price as everybody else, it's hard to stand out.
Yeah.
But if you can take and private label or make your own brand that goes on products and offer great value and still make good money, now all of a sudden you have something that can set you apart from the competition. So I don't know that I'd say I'd do anything different. Honestly, I'd try to keep following his footsteps.
He's doing pretty good.
He's done great. And so I think those guiding principles, try to keep those the same. But he'll be the first to tell you. I mean, he doesn't have a computer. He doesn't know how to turn a computer on.
Right.
We've got him using an iPhone now, but that's mostly because of Hey Siri.
That's awesome, yeah. So,
I can see Johnny Morris talking to his phone.
So he'll, like, you know, he'll say, oh, I'll Snapchat you later. So he doesn't know what Snapchat is. So it's funny. He doesn't have too much. If I want to go run off on something on media or we want to go do something, he's like, hey, we need to grow it. I know it's popular, but he doesn't really get it or understand it that
he
much.
He did the Dell Jr. podcast. I'm a big Dell Jr. I watch all of those, even their like offshoot podcasts. And when he came on, I was like, whoa, what's going on here? How was his experience? Did he come back saying like, okay, did he even know what podcasts were at that point?
Just enough to be dangerous, I guess. You know? He went, that's I think maybe one of the first podcasts he's done.
Wow.
And we've looked at Dale Jr.'s podcast, a very successful one, and podcasts are something that we've been behind the curve here at Bass Pro Shops getting on, and I know it's on our plans here coming up soon to invest in doing our own podcast.
We'll just leave all this equipment here. You could have it.
All right, perfect. That'll make life easy. So we've been working towards that, and he was excited to go spend time with Dale Jr. and Kelly on there.
Right.
We've been really close to Kelly for a long time, and my dad was really close with Dale Sr., their dad.
That's
and so
awesome.
Just excited to go reminisce about memories and then also to check out their setup and see how they do things. And so I think he got a lot of good ideas, and he was really energized and excited when he got back.
I think of all studios, and I've never been there. I can just imagine, because I've seen what I've seen, like that's like the biggest one you could walk into to get ideas, you know. They seem to put on a full-blown production, you know?
Yeah, they really do. I think Dale Jr. is really proud of it too, just talking through it. You know, it's like, and I heard him say, you know, following my dad's footsteps. Like, you know, how do you follow in Dale Sr.'s footsteps? How do you follow in Johnny Morris's footsteps, right? So, you know, so he's like, the podcast, something he's really proud about. And like his media and how he's had this outreach around like old racers and the old stories of racing, stuff with his dad and telling their side of the story. So it's been really cool. I think he's really proud of it.
They've set a standard in their storytelling. I'm into NASCAR, but I'm a fairly new fan of NASCAR, right? The last 10 years, 12 years. So to hear some of those stories like that are fresh for me, I'm like, dude, I wish I was born earlier in life, you know, because some of that stuff isn't, you don't listen, but it's intense.
Bass Pro Shops does a very good job at promoting, you know, their brand and their business model to, you know, that demographic. Hey, look, the NASCAR fans, there's a lot of crossover between, you know, NASCAR fans and hunters, fishermen. Every time we go to a NASCAR race and cheer on Martin Truex Jr. I've been fishing with him, by the way. Awesome dude. But every time you roll up in there, everyone's got True Timber camo on or just some kind of camo hat or an orange hat on. And it's just really cool because we're all a big family, right? We all love the same things. And Bass Pro Shops really does a good job at letting their presence be known.
Supporting everything too.
What else does Bass Pro Shops sponsor outside of like fishing and hunting? Maybe something the viewers don't really know Bass Pro's involved in.
Yeah, you know, obviously a lot of the fishing and hunting stuff. Conservation. We do a ton with conservation.
Yes.
And that's one of the things that we're probably most proud about,
mm-hmm.
Is just the impact we've been able to have. And I feel like it's our duty as Bass Pro Shops to give back.
Yeah. Sure.
And I mean, selfishly too, right? If there's not healthy populations of fish or wildlife out there, people aren't going to be going fishing and hunting.
And it's more than just writing a check and saying, hey, conserve or whatever, or it's more than catch and release. There's a whole lot to conservation that a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah, there really is. There's a lot of different conservation groups out there, mm-hmm. and they all mean really well.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's tough, right? When you're on your own. And so my dad always says, like, to make great things happen, it takes partnership.
You're right.
And so I think one way we've been able to help a lot is we've been like a unifier. So we have a huge, diverse group of customers.
Yeah.
We bring them, and we have this outdoor fund program. So they help round up at the registers.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That generates a lot of money to go to conservation. And then we leverage through our conservation partners. A lot of times we're able to get up to 9 times that amount matched, whether it be through state or federal or other programs. So now you can take, you know, some dollars from customers, find a way to leverage those and
multiply
make a huge impact on the landscape. And so that's how, when we all come together and work, we can make a bigger impact rather than just one person donating that or doing the effort themselves.
Wow.
That's all great. Like, we want everybody to help and pitch
Absolutely.
In, but we feel really good about bringing these partnerships together to really make like a big, big effort.
That's
big
awesome.
Change. And without that effort, without that change, I mean, that is a let's face it, the game we hunt, the fish we catch, that is a natural resource that is not renewable. I mean, if it's gone, it's gone for good. And without these safeguards with conservation, I mean, we're left up the creek, definitely.
Yeah.
Trey, what else you got? I know we're on a time schedule here. We're a busy day here.
There's one other thing.
Yeah. Okay.
We were at the studio doing stuff for his boat, and I noticed these boats in there that I'm, especially the airboat. I was like, that is one
rigged
of the,
out.
Yeah, nice. One of the sickest rigs ever. Like, what is that?
All right. So it kind of, you find bass fishermen on either side. You find bass fishermen that love bow fishermen, and you find bass fishermen that don't like bow fishermen. But, it's something I'm really passionate about. I love to hunt.
Mm-hmm.
A buddy took me when I was probably 16, and I'd shot a few off the bank, you know, when they were spawning as a kid. But I had a buddy take me at night, and I got super hooked on bow fishing. I went like 2 nights in a row, and I was like, came back, called the guys at the Tracker Plant in Lebanon, and I said, you guys got to build me a grizzly to go bow fishing. So they made me like a 20-foot boat with some little shop lights on it. And I just, this passion kept getting bigger and bigger. And my dad keeps telling me, you know, he's like half the problem, because he's like, this reminds me of the early days of bass fishing. Like, you need to keep building some stuff. Help us come up with boats, whatever.
Right.
So we worked on a Tracker Grizzly bow fishing boat.
Oh, cool.
And so we've been selling those at the stores. They've done really well. And it's been really cool to watch this sport grow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think anytime, like we were talking about natural resources, anytime you have an abundant resource, it seems like, you know, you get great participation.
Mm-hmm.
And you take this underutilized resource of carp, buffalo, gar, and a lot of our reservoirs and rivers. And now all of a sudden people can go out and have fun and target them and also help, you know, that body of water. And I think it's a good conservation story, but it's also a heck of a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And so those boats over the years, I've kind of built a few of my own, and I started this bow fishing tournament. It's actually the U.S. Open Bow Fishing Championship.
Oh, yeah.
So kind of took it from the U.S. Open of bass fishing.
Yeah.
And I said, nobody's doing this. There's already world championships, but nobody's having a U.S. Open. So we've moved it around every year. I think we've been going about 8 or 9 years now.
Wow.
And we moved to a different store, different location every year so that they kind of get to fish water and check stuff out.
And the participation's just growing every year.
Yeah, it's been really great. We have up to 4-person teams.
Mm-hmm.
And we usually have 200 to 250 teams sign up. So we end up with close to, you know, 1,000 competitors sometimes. And they go out all night long. They start at dark and they're out all night, and they come back at daylight. It's a big 20. So like, you know, weigh in your biggest 20 fish.
That's awesome.
So cool.
And I've seen all the rigs they've had over the years. So
yeah.
Airboats and water world looking stuff. I mean, just welded on stuff everywhere. You're like, oh, that can't be safe. But it's so fun. And so I had that airboat built because I go down sometimes like in South Florida, go down the Everglades, go other places. And you just need an airboat if you're going to be competitive and be able to get around down there. It's a lot of fun.
That's a sick
boat.
Sorry if I woke you up.
No, that is awesome. That's great. And to have them moving all around the country. And speaking of being all around the country, for those of you listening, whether you're from Florida, Texas, whatever it is, if they come and fly into Springfield, Missouri, what can they expect if they wanted to get the full like Bass Pro Shops experience? How would you set up a single day for someone traveling in? Is it Wonders of Wildlife? Is it the home base store? Or is it Is it base camp? Come visit your office.
We can keep you busy for a day. If you've only got a day, we'll keep you real busy. So wear some comfortable shoes.
Yep.
You know, the Granddaddy store in Springfield is just iconic.
Yes.
It's our original store. It's been our history for a long time. Mm-hmm. And we get a ton of families that come travel or check out. It's number one tourist destination in Missouri. So we get like 4 million visitors a year there.
Wow.
And then Wonders of Wildlife is a really great experience. Mm-hmm. If you have kids or you're just passionate about the outdoors, it's totally worth walking through there. I mean, we can do the speed tour in like in an hour, but we're running. You know, it's going to take several hours to get through there and see it the right way.
And Wonders of Wildlife is live animals and taxidermy or both?
We have a section we call the Wildlife Galleries, mm-hmm. and it's all taxidermy mounted animals from all over the world. And then we have some live animals. We have a bunch of aquariums with live fish. And we're always bringing in new exhibits and new things. Like right now we're doing a sea turtle rehabilitation.
Oh, cool.
So we've got some sea turtles they brought in and we'll help rehabilitate them and then reintroduce them to the wild. And so there's always something new coming in for kids to kind of interact with and get excited about.
Very cool.
And then I'd say after that, you know, getting down maybe to Big Cedar if you have time and either play some golf or do some fishing or just eat a bunch of good food.
Top of the rock.
I was so surprised. I shouldn't be surprised, right? When it comes to in-person experience, that's what you guys do. But when they said, like, there's no slow season at Big Cedar, it is booked like 24/7 all year long. That's like insane. But it speaks volumes about what you guys do.
Debbie Bennett is her name. She helps us run Big Cedar Lodge, mm-hmm. and she has been working for us for over 30 years now, I think almost 37. And she started in the call center there, taking reservations on note cards. And she's worked her way up. And like, I give a lot of credit to her and to my dad, but a lot to Debbie because she leads that team. They bring that like special hospitality and we get return guests. We have families that have been coming to Big Cedar for 20, 30, 40 years now.
Wow.
That every year they come and they do their family trip. Sure, and so it's just kind of, we build that relationship. One thing that's unique, I feel like with Big Cedar is, you know, you go down to Buzzard Bar and you listen to Clay Self. He's the singing cowboy we have down there. Yeah. He's a character. He has this gift to remember people's names, unlike anybody I've ever seen in my life. You'll walk in, he hasn't seen you in a year, and we go, "Hey, Chris, how's it going?" Wow. And you're like, "What?" Wow. And so it makes you feel like I'm at home. Like they remember me and so appreciate me being here. And it's the special people here in the Ozarks that set us apart.
Very cool. That's awesome. Well, you said a lot in the little time we had, JP. I think it's really, really important within our industry. I mean, Bass Pro Shops is so involved with a lot of what we do. It's more than just sponsoring an elite series. It's more than just the Bass Pro Tour slapping a logo on it. And I think it's really important for the fans, the viewers, the followers to really put a face and personality to that brand. And we really enjoyed your time here. And thank you for giving us a look inside your day-to-day and some of the things you had to say. And I know you're really, really busy. So thank you so much for your time. You got anything else before I ask one more question?
No, I know he's got to get going. So I'll just stay quiet.
I'd like to ask you, like we do with all our podcasts, whether it's fishing advice, hunting advice, give us some general life advice. Obviously, your family's a very successful family. You're surrounded by a very successful team. What single piece of advice can you give the viewers as we part ways here?
You know, I think enjoy your time outdoors, spend time with your loved ones, take a lot of pictures. I look around this room and there's so many great memories in here. I look up and it just floods back with memories. And I think like that's what we're really in the business of doing is we're outfitting people, but we're really outfitting them to go make memories and have great times. So I think go have fun. You know what? You might not remember that extra day you spent working, but you'll definitely remember that extra day you went fishing. So
That's awesome.
If anything, try to spend time outdoors and take your kids, take somebody new you've never taken before, because there's just something special. It's rewarding for you and for them. And it's just great. So thank you guys so much for having me on your podcast. It's been a pleasure getting to spend some time to get to know you a little bit better. And hopefully next time you come in town, it'll be a little warmer. We'll go bow fishing and I'll show you what that's all about.
We'll go around too, JP. We really appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, JP.
Thank you so much.